Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here today. If you hadn't noticed, Pastor Tim is not here today, and so he had asked me to minister, so surprise! The text that we received, praise the Lord, Pastor sent that out. He had some things that had come up, so he asked me to fill in, and so that's what I count to be an honor, to be able to minister the Word of God. But praise the Lord, if you are visiting here with us today, Pastor Tim is the anointed man of God to lead this work. He is my pastor, and I know that he would want to meet you, so I invite you, just come on back to hear Pastor if you haven't heard him already. But praise the Lord, the Word of God is good, and we're going to get into the Word of God. I've got some things on my heart, and I just trust that you help me here this morning. And praise the Lord, I just will take an opportunity to minister myself. Amen, because the Word is always so good. And praise the Lord, if you have your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind turning with me over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And Pastor, what he's been ministering on lately hasn't been that so good. I mean, it's been so rich, amen, especially, you know, last week he talked about, start telling God about God, amen. We don't want to come before him with a list of needs that we have. Our Heavenly Father knows that we have those things. And I want to reiterate something that he said in Matthew chapter 6 last week that just kind of jumped in me when he said it. And it's so important that we know who we are in Christ, but we know the family that we're a part of. See, when you became born again, you became a new creation or a new creature in him. Therefore, you moved out of the world or the realm of darkness and were translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So in other words, you're of a different family. Whether you're living like it, whether you're thinking like it, whether you're talking like it, is beside the point. If you've been born again, you are considered part of God's family, and you need to renew your mind to the fact that you are now a child with new parentship, if you will. So everything that encompasses God the Father through his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit is now made available for you because you are his family. We're not subject to the things of the world like the rest of the world is. Why? Because who our Father is. It may affect you, but not me. Are you better than the world out there? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. God does not love me any better than he loves everyone that's not saved or born again, because he sent Jesus to die for them as he died for me. But am I better than them? Yes, I am, because I've accepted Jesus as my Lord, and I moved out of darkness into the light, making me better. And I'm not going to apologize for the rights and privileges that I have as a son of the Most High God. And if you are born again, you are part of that family. Why the boldness concerning this? Because everything out there in the world is trying to belittle who I am. And if we're going to make a change in this world, you better occupy your residency as a born-again believer and start making a difference out there. Because everyone else that's confused out there that doesn't love God and hates him is trying to pave the way. So I've just decided that I'll live in the fullness of what he's provided through Jesus. Are you in Matthew chapter 6? In verse 7, Pastor read these verses last week. And he says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Verse 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." So he's saying, when you pray, he says, don't pray like the heathen. Don't pray like those that don't know God. Don't pray like those that are lost and have some kind of a religious prayer full of many words, as the Amplified would say. And then it goes on to verse 8, and it says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of." So indicating to me, he says, don't pray like the heathen. Don't pray like those that don't know me. Don't pray like those that, you know, are lost and of the kingdom of darkness. He says, your father knows that you have need of these things. There's a separation right there because they're praying, indicated by these verses, according to their needs. Why? Survival of the fittest. But what separates you and what God is saying, because you have a heavenly father, you don't pray like them because you're not like them. Don't let the needs insult God's character as a father because you're praying wrong like the heathens do. Let them deal with that until we get them born again, and then they'll understand who their father is, and then they can pray correctly. When you start praying according to many words and religion and according to the needs that arise and you're encompassed and dwell, and hey, we all go through circumstances, trials, tribulation. We all go through those things. But when you start voicing the need is being greater than the supply that your heavenly father brought, he says, you're acting like a heathen. Don't pray like that. Because your father knows that you have these needs. Don't insult his leadership or his authority as your heavenly father over you, because he would be negligent to a child in child abuse if he didn't provide and supply these things to you. In verse 31, later on in this chapter, and you know these verses, he says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Why are the cares? Why are you carrying the burdens of these things? Your heavenly Father knows. That's what separates. That separates the born again child of God from the rest of this world, is your father knows. I might have shared this before, but there's a testimony of this woman, was a mighty woman of God, and she had a son that was some kind of emergency medical situation arose within this woman and her son. So this woman was driving someplace, and she immediately got word that her son, there was some kind of a medical condition or catastrophe where it was not looking good, it was grave. And so when she received that call, she told God, she says, I know that you know that I know that you know. She brought it before the Lord and said, concerning my son, I know that you know that I know you know. If I didn't know, I wouldn't come before you, God, because my ignorance would bridge or break the connection between you and me. But because I know, and I know that you know that I know, now it's your turn to act. And I'm going to stand in the position because you put yourself here. I have a need. If you know and you do nothing about it, I'm going to hold you responsible. Oh, Pastor Brad, don't talk like that. You think God's upset because I profess him to be my provider? Because I profess him to be my healer, to be my peace and my joy? When he gave Jesus for me and everything else fails in comparison to the price that he paid? Father, this is what you said, and I am part of your family. Don't say it if you're not going to do it. And she said, I know that you know that I know. And because I know that you know, now you have to act. And her son was raised up because she had the faith in God, her father, and said, wait. He's born again. I'm not going to soak in the fact that my son's going through an issue and a trial. I'm not going to profess or confess how big the problem is with him right now. I'm not going to confess that he's in need of a miracle. All I need to do is bring myself before my heavenly Father and say, God, you know this. What are you going to do about it? I'm not going to pray for the need. You know the need. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Sure he does. The God that sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. The God that occupies all time. It wasn't a surprise, whatever circumstance, trial that you're going through. God saw that. It's a matter of coming before him. Father, I know that you know that I know that you know. So I'm expecting movement as a child and an inheritor of the promises that you provided for me, I'm expecting results here. And I'm going to stand here in the position of faith, having done all to stand, till I see my manifestation. And I'm not going to confess, I'm not going to bawl, I'm not going to squall, I'm not going to yell, I'm not going to gripe or complain. I'm going to stand as a covenant relationship as a son of my Heavenly Father until I see movement on this. Don't leave it to me. Father, you know. If I had to try to do something, which we all want to try to fix, we try to use our wisdom and human education. Praise God for wisdom. What wisdom is a godly thing? Talks about that. Book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. Praise God for wisdom. But sometimes it trumps. Well, I could do it myself, so I don't need the dependence on God. Until you do. And you've been so trained in your thinking naturally and fortified that all of a sudden when a miracle is needed or something where you have to actually extend faith, all of a sudden we're up the creek without a paddle. We're all to live by faith and not by sight. We're all to go before our Heavenly Father, bridge that fellowship with Him, and allow Him to be the Heavenly Father that He wants to be to His children and for other people to see it. The body of Christ is so under attack today through distractions, through the crush of economics in this economy and everything, that there are a lot of voices screaming to try to gain the voice of lordship in your life. There's only one God, the Father, and if you're born again, He is the voice that trumps every other voice. He is the provision and the supply that trumps and makes you able to live the good life here on earth. Turn with me over there to Luke chapter 15, if you will. You remember the prodigal son. Luke 15:11, I just want to read a few verses here. Luke 15:11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, he arose and mighty famine in that land. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's just stop right there for a minute. Here was a son that took his inheritance. And you know the parable in this parable. You know the significance of our Heavenly Father, obviously. But he took his inheritance and he went into riotous living. In other words, he had tasted of the benefits of being connected to his Heavenly Father. He knew the inheritance that was left to him. And when he decided to go on his own, he took that inheritance and he squandered it. He was not a good steward of what had been entrusted to him. He went out into the things of the world, and the edge that was given to him through his connection and fellowship with his father now became an avenue to riotous living. He wasn't responsible. He wasn't maybe grown. He wasn't thinking right, obviously. And there came a transition in his life where everything that was connected him, or the things that connected him to his father, were now squandered, and he was in a position of being in want. Famine rose up, circumstances rose up, trial rose up, and he began to forget where he came from. He began to forget the substance and the inheritance that was made available to him. He began to forget the promises that he had through being connected in the fellowship of his father. So he came to the point where he was in dire want, and as he was serving, one day he found himself over the pig pen, and there was a pig on this side and a pig on this side. And it says in the Bible that he came to himself. In other words, I haven't been thinking correctly. In other words, everything that this hand that's been dealt me in the world has somehow made me forget the fact that I'm connected of this family lineage. And in that family lineage is every need met, is a full supply, is a full inheritance, is a father that knows how to think and govern and has always stood in a position of putting me and my well-being in the center of what he does. And when he came to himself, the Bible says that he came to himself, he said, how many of even the hired servants that my father has eat better and they're well fed and not hungry? And here I am with the pigs. And so there was a change of his mentality. There was a change of his mind. There was an understanding of his rights and privileges that he had with his father. Because he said, even the lowest in my household, my father's household, even the lowest, even the servants, even those, the ones that worked for him to increase him, even they are well supplied, well cared for, well fed, well clothed. They have provision at their disposal. He says, I'll go back and I'll be like one of them, because they are promised something through their connection with him. Maybe they are an employer or employee, but there's an agreement or a covenant or a relationship that is established that they are a beneficiary of what the one man, the father, has. So he came to himself and said, surely I could be like one of the servants. And it says that he picked up all his stuff and he started going home. In other words, he repented. He changed his mind. He changed his way of thinking when he came to himself. And he said, wait a second. The condition and state that I am in right now is not what I was born into. What I'm dealing with right now is not a reflection of the family that I'm a part of. So oftentimes, the circumstance, the trial, I get it. If you're in this world, you'll have trials and tribulation. But God says, be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. The Bible says in the Amplified. I get it. But when your mentality becomes compromised for a level of acceptance that changes you out of the family that you came from, that's where repentance has to take place. Pastor Tim, his story, I mean, they're different in his testimony, but I have the same testimony. I come from a godly family. And so when I've gotten off in life, when I've gotten off in younger years, I was born again when I was 7. And I got off from the things of God where I was not living the way I should have lived. And it was an insult to the family that I was born into. My justification was my repentance to get back into fellowship with the family. And it's not that my parents never not loved me or cared for me. They were always good, and I always had a good relationship. I never ran away. You know, I never went on any crazy journeys. And probably most of what I've done is probably, you know, people have some crazy testimonies. Don't worry, I didn't kill anybody or anything like that. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Pastor Brad, what'd you do? Yeah, did a lot of other stuff, amen. But I never was out of fellowship with my parents. My parents are dear to my sister and I, but we always had that growing up. But there was the recognition of the family and the understanding of the family that we came from and the rights and privileges that were set to that. Like Pastor Tim had that story when he was going into play at the bar, and on the sign it said Tim Stallman. And the first thing he thought was my dad. And he's like, is my dad gonna be proud of me that I'm going into a bar to play the guitar and sing or whatever he was doing? And in like manner, this prodigal son, there was a repentant time that says, I haven't been living fully in light of how I've been raised and what I've been born into. I've been going through things that maybe I should not be going through. I've gone through self-inflicted things because my mindset has not been correct. I've been battling with these things time and time and time and time and time again. And I realize that I need change. I realize I need help. I can't stand to be hungry anymore. I can't stand to be in the wallows anymore. I can't stand to be poorly clothed anymore. I can't stand to go without anymore. My father. So he changed his mind and he came. It says when he came to himself, he realized what he had left and he had separated himself from the fellowship of the Father. And it says as he was going home, it doesn't say that the father was busy, that the father was on a sabbatical, that the father was out touring the world, that the father was out working per se. It says that his father saw him a long way off. How long you been there? How long you been standing there, father? Since I left? Have you been posturing yourself this long that your gaze was so long that you saw me a ways off? Is that how you've been positioning yourself since I left? What if I came back the next day? His father saw him a long way off. First thing he did, he embraced his son because he knew that which was dead has been alive. That which was lost is found. He put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, a coat on him. He says, kill the fatted calf. Like Matthew chapter 7, first thing he did, fed and clothed him. He's saying, because you've come back into fellowship with me, provision and supply and promise is now yours. Get this ring off my hand, put it on yours. Put this tunic on you. Put these sandals on your feet. You might have been dead. You might have been lost, but you are now alive because you brought back fellowship. Far off, God saw him, or the Father saw him, and ran towards him to embrace him. I cannot wait to get my son back into fellowship because I want the opportunity to care for him. I want the opportunity to love him. I want the opportunity to give him everything that I have. Jesus. If we could only grasp the love that the Father has towards us, if we could only understand the depths, what we deem as a big problem would be very small and insignificant. And again, I'm not diminishing circumstance and trial because we all go through those things. But when we lose sight of the family that we were born into, we have to repent and come to ourselves and run to our Heavenly Father because that's where the supply is. Verse 29, you remember the son, the other son that was there with the father the whole time, he comes back from the field, and there's a party going on because they have, at this point, slaughtered the fatted calf. They're eating, they're partying, because the son has returned fellowship. Talk about a cause for celebration. It says in heaven that the angels rejoice when one repents and comes back home. I get that. I get that through this passage. Because here's a celebration because one was brought back into fellowship with their heavenly father. That's how near and dear it is to God the Father. In verse 29, we're picking up where this father is talking to this eldest son. It says, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So he was complaining. It's like, what have I ever done? You know, what have I ever received? So in other words, you could be in a position as the church of recognizing, man, why is it the heathen comes in and they get everything and I get nothing? Why is it those that just get born again, all of a sudden blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing, and I've been with God the whole time serving him faithfully, and where's my breakthrough? Where's mine? And I like what it says over in verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. See, when he says, you are forever, or you are always with me, there's your reward. You were never in a position where you broke fellowship with me. And the fellowship with the Heavenly Father has to be more than the reward or the things. Why? Because the heathen seek those things. You understand the shallowness of material things when it comes down to the fellowship. And so when he says, hey, he got this inheritance, he got this thing. Why are you talking about food and clothes? Why are you talking about stuff? Your reward is that you are ever with me. You're ever in fellowship with me. Don't be like the heathen to seek only these. You're talking as a manner that you're not a part of this family. The reward is you're with me. That's it. That has to be understood, grasped, and has to be enough for you. Bringing up things. Why wasn't I ever given a fatted calf? Why wasn't I ever throwing a party? I'm forever with you. Everything that I have is yours. Every material thing I have that is yours. What separates you from him is he was lost. He was dead. He was about to die and could have been separated eternal from fellowship. Not you. You stayed here. There's your reward. Ah. I ministered last night in Erie. This is not anything what I said last night. I haven't even started what I ministered last night. Pastor Jim's like, hey, you just go and you just preach what you preached last night. Well, maybe we'll get to some of it. But praise God. God has to be worth it to you, to him and him alone. Why do you praise God? Because you got a breakthrough? Because you got a new car? Because you got a new house? Praise God for all those things. No, I praise God because he's worthy of it. And as long as I can maintain my fellowship with him, there's my reward. I don't want to be a million miles away with everything. Better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. One day in fellowship with God, to be in a position where I can hear his voice. Why are you so dogmatic about this? Because the world's trying to make the need the greater voice right now. He's trying to get the born again to forget they're born again. He's trying to get the born again to forget the promises that he gave through his son, Jesus Christ. when every need out there exceeds our knowledge of the promises of God and our fellowship that we have with Him. Whether it be distraction that's trying to break us away from spending time with our Heavenly Father, as God the whole time is like this, afar off. Would you put down the instant face? Would you put down the Instagram and Twitter and everything else, Snapchat and everything else? Could you do that just so I could get a little bit of the reward on you? You know, fellowship. Because He told His Son, you're ever with me. If I could just get you back into fellowship with me, you would understand the depth of the resources that I truly have, and it far exceeds any material thing. That's why He says in those voices, food, clothes, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, what you put on, clothes. He says, for the heathen, the Gentiles seek these things. We know verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first God and His way of being right, or in the Amplified it says, being in right standing with Him in righteousness. Because if I can know up here and in here to be in right standing with the Heavenly Father, my fellowship is intact. Then all of a sudden, all these things will be added. Why? Because my fellowship's intact with the Heavenly Father. And Father, I know that you know that I know that you know. And you are not a bad father. I have to eat. I need clothes. I need gas money. I need things here on earth. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Don't allow your effort to be prioritized to giving that the emphasis. Seek first the kingdom and put forth your effort to apprehend your rightful position as an inheritance of the salvation that you've been born into and the family you've been born into. Come before the Lord boldly as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Seek first His kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Ephesians. I want to get a little bit into this just to reiterate some things. That your provision and your supply is always based on the character of God your Father. In other words, I have an understanding that with my children, that I have a responsibility to raise them. I know they need fed. I know that they need clothes. I know that they need a place to sleep. I know that they have basic everyday needs, as anyone that is a parent understands that. And if I neglect that responsibility, there'll be others that will intervene. The state will come and say, you have not been diligent in recognizing your responsibilities. So if I negate those responsibilities, I will pay a price one way or another, and someone will see to the needs of my children. But on the other side of it, as I'm not saying I'm a fantastic parent, praise the Lord, Steph and I are doing the best of our abilities to raise our kids up right in the things of God. But my kids have never come to me, and they've never stressed to the point of, oh man, I sure hope we can eat lunch today. And I know, hey, I get it. There's been people, and there are people in this world, maybe in this sanctuary. I don't know what everybody's going through, where you have need and you've gone without. And I certainly know what that's like. I know what it's like not to make ends meet. I know what it's like to have needs significant and wants and stuff, and sometimes the finances aren't there. I get all that. But my children. They never stress out and be like, oh man, I sure hope we're gonna eat today. I sure hope there's gonna be lunch when we get home. Oh, I sure hope that there's gonna be dinner. They never approach me in that manner. They never stress out. And if they did, I would have to reprimand them. I would have to correct them. Quit that. Because you're discrediting me as your father by talking that nonsense. If you weren't my kid and belonged to the devil, yes, then you would talk like that. But because I'm your father, I understand these responsibilities, and there would be repercussions if I neglect my responsibility as a parent. They never stress or complain or yell or gripe because they understand the family structure and the connection, and I've proven myself faithful to them. How much more God, our Heavenly Father? Well, man, I don't know what we're going to do. We got this. We got this. I don't know what we're going to do. Are we going to be able to do it? Where's this gas money going to come from? I can't believe it. You know, it costs $50 for a cheeseburger now. And God's provision far exceeded every need that you would ever potentially have. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." What more, if you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, what more can you add to that? And he did it through Jesus Christ. If he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, what can you add to all? If everybody that has ever attended family church was here with no one missing, we'd all be here. There'd be no one else in that particular group that would be here. And my family of four, my direct family, 1, 2, 3, 4, we're all here. That would be all. What can we add to that? Well, I think we're done having kids. Praise God. We're not planning on having any more kids. That would be one way, so that's the caveat here. But I'm saying when all is there and all is accounted for, there's nothing more that you can add to all because it is all there. And he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus or through Christ Jesus. And you remember back in the Garden of Eden, you remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they broke fellowship with God. It was even in, I believe it was Genesis chapter 2, that it talked prophetically about the one that would come that would crush the serpent and crush his head with his heel, talking in reference to Jesus Christ. So even back before the foundations of the world, or when they were even beginning at this point, God says, there is coming a redemptive plan, even though man had sinned and broke fellowship with me. There's a supply that I have already thought of and put in place based on their needs that they will have. And it says that when it says that he has blessed you, is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? Past tense, he's already done it. There's not something that God has to recreate on your behalf to fulfill your needs. It's already been done and taken care of. It's your responsibility to maintain the fellowship with the Father and apprehend everything that he's already blessed you with. I'm not saying that ignorance does have a price, because it does. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Knowing everything that is made yours through your covenant relationship with your Heavenly Father. My kids don't eat the food that I put before them. It's not because it wasn't provided for them. It's because either they didn't know or they chose not to participate in the provision that I supplied. And I won't be held accountable. Yes, I will, because they're my children in this analogy. But if they don't eat, it's not that I did not provide for them. There was a break in their understanding of them being a partaker of the provision that was already in place. Turn with me to, it's the next page over in my Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 10 in the Amplified. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Those are all past tense things that he has already put into place through Jesus for you. The fellowship of the Heavenly Father understands the provision that is already in place. We're not like the heathens. We're not like those that are without Jesus or without the supply. And I'm telling you, everything that you need to live the good life is already in place. He's already in the eternal past, whenever that may have been, knew you and knew the provision that was made available for you. And he says, I've planned and I've made paths for you to take that you would live the good life. And if you're not living the good life, get into the good life. If you're not living the good life, it's not because the plan is not good. Maybe you haven't connected yourself properly to the good life. Taking paths that he planned beforehand, living the good life. Everything you need is in that good life. Get connected. Why would you settle for anything less than the price that was paid for that? Very interesting to me. Praise the Lord. You know, everything that he had is set before you. Everything that you need to be victorious in this life is at your disposal. That's part of the inheritance that you have. Same thing that eldest son with the prodigal story. He says, everything I have is yours. You're welcome at any time to access anything that you see. Our fellowship is intact, so whatever you need, you just take it and do it. Where the other son was separated, so he had to come back into fellowship to have that access. But whatever you need as your father, he was maturing in his stature. He says, everything I have is yours. You do it. Don't feel slighted based on the provision that you see on a daily basis. You just take it and utilize it. Live the good life. Everything that you need is yours. But those things are set and have already been predestined and planned before us. And it's important that we walk in the fullness of those things. Turn with me, if you will, over there to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, it's interesting. When my sister and I were growing up, you know, we had some responsibilities that we had to do. And so every Sunday was a feast at our house, because when my dad's parents, my grandparents, were alive, every Sunday they would come over for dinner. And my mom would put on a feast for years. I mean, moms, you got rewards in heaven for all those meals that you prepared for them. And, you know, they're since gone. But my dad was a phys ed teacher for a number of years, so he did a lot of cooking through the week and meals and stuff like that. My mom was a dental hygienist. My dad didn't have sports. He'd be home at 3 o'clock, so it was just convenient that he would make the food. Well, one of the responsibilities of my sister and myself is we either had to, and this was swapsies, we either had to make salads or set the table. And I appreciated the fact that we had salads just about every night, because, you know, you got to be vegetable strong. You know, you got to make sure to get, you know, some good vegetables, nutrition, and stuff like that. Well, how many know I made a sad salad? See, for me, and I don't know how it is for my sister, never wanted to do the salads. I was happy when I could set the table, because it meant getting plates out of the cupboard, slapping one each down, paper towel, rip, throw it down, put a fork on it. That was the extent of it. 5 seconds, done. Back on the couch watching TV. Glory to God. Salads wasn't like that. We didn't have poor salad back then. You get a head of iceberg lettuce. And so you ever see those things and, you know, you have to break the thing. You're like, wham, slam it on there, pull that thing out of there, and you got to rip it. And then, you know, as you take all the good yellow, I like that yellow salad that's on the inside, you know, close. And then you get into the leafy stuff, and that stuff was like rubber. You know, you could like shake it and whatnot. And so when it came time for me to do salads, oh man, I made some sad salads. Forget cutting up vegetables. I would take the salad, I'd put it in the bowl. I go into the cupboard and they had like those little, you know, hard sprinkle onions. Shake a few of those on there. maybe some croutons if they were there. Put a couple bacon bits on. There's your salad. It's like, man, where's the celery and where's the cucumber and where's the carrot? That's not my salad. That's your salad, stinking. You want that. You won't catch, you know, knives are sharp. I'm little and all that other nonsense, you know. So I made some sad salads. So we always, you know, I was so glad when it was time for me to set the table. But I understood something, that when I set the table, it was in anticipation of what was being prepared. I set the table to make provision and position myself to be a beneficiary of the meal being prepared. That's why it says in the 23rd Psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Right there, smack dab in the middle of your enemies, it's time to eat. Why? Because my focus is not on the enemies anymore. My focus is on what's been prepared. And because something has been set before me, there's my objective. My focus and my gaze has to be on what's set, not on the enemies in my circumstance and situation. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over," right in the midst of the darkest hour. Right in the midst is the provision that far exceeded before the foundations of the earth was already in place. Nothing more that had to be prepared. I just took my gaze off of the garbage junk that I've been going through and went to my set position. So that's how we rolled in the Holford household. You didn't want to be making salads. You wanted to be setting the table, but when we're set, we know what was coming. We knew that provision. Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We all know what sin is. Hey, you know, maybe you're new, maybe you don't know what sin is. If you're sinning, stop. We all fall short. We all have problems that we deal with and shortcomings per se, but we know what sin is. Weights, however, that's a little bit different. Weights sometimes aren't necessarily sin, but it can divert your focus. They can weigh you down so you cannot run effectively. Anyone that runs, man, if you start strapping and you see people that do, you know, like those marathon, triathlon and, you know, different things when they train, sometimes they do wear a weighted vest, you know, for, hiking or running or whatever. Why? Because the resistance, once removed, will excel them in those things. But a weight is anything that would distract or turn you away from moving forward. You know, so it's like, hey, you know, prime example, social media, because we all know social media. Okay, social media, there is a lot of bad stuff that's on social media. But hey, I get on Facebook from time to time, and I see a lot of people, you know, putting scripture and stuff on there. Praise God. That is good. That's wonderful to encourage and stuff. And so there's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about that. But when you're on there for 5 hours a day, okay, then that becomes a weight. You understand? It's not sin, but it's slowing you down. And you're losing your focus on running your race that it's talking about here. But look what verse 2 says. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So let's just take a look at that for a minute, because it says that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. It says because what was set before him became greater than the cross that he would soon be going through and partaking of, he said joy was in place. And because joy was in place, he was able to endure. Why? Because his focus wasn't on the cross. His focus wasn't on being separated from his heavenly Father, the break of fellowship with his Father, which had never been done until he went to the cross and his Father turned his back on him. Why? For you and me. That's what love would do. The ultimate price paid broke fellowship with his heavenly Father because it had to be done. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. In other words, I'm sitting back here looking at the promise that was set before me, and because the promise is set before me, my endurance has now become permanent in me. Whether it's a cross, whether it's anything else, I'm joyful about it, and my endurance is in place. Because our focus is on what has been set, not on the enemies that are behind you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, you need to focus on the promise of God. Keep your eyes and your mind set and fixed on the promise as your rightful place that the Father has provided for you, and then you will obtain the endurance to go through. You get your eyes focused on the circumstance, you're going to be exhausted and wear out. Why? Because you see no finish line. Any runner, okay, so I'll use Scott here. So, all right, I got $1 million. This $1 million is yours. You're going to race to find this $1 million. You won't know where it is. Let's just limit it to the state of New York. It could be anywhere in New York State. You find that $1 million, you understand what you can do with $1 million. That's going to change your lives. It'll change everybody else's lives. Glory to God, because you're generous. Amen. It'll be a good tithe off that. Glory to God. But $1 million will be yours, and you will be a benefit of it, but you won't know where it is. You could go through lifetimes in New York trying to find out where that $1 million is, and the clock is ticking because you have so many years left in your life to try to find that $1 million. However, if you had a map or a guidance or a knowing where I set that, I'll tell you what, whatever valley you gotta cross, whatever ocean you gotta swim, whatever creek you gotta hurdle, it doesn't matter because it's set. If it takes me a day, if it takes me a week, if it takes me with a month, I'm so consumed with the reward of provision that the price has now become payable. I've developed endurance now because I see what's set before me. And when I see myself living in the fullness of the provision, I'll endure anything. I've seen the change because now I've physically or I've had something set before me and now my endurance is in place. May not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. Whatever promise you're believing God for, the health of your body, the soundness of your mind, the peace in your family, the joy, the love, the compassion, whatever it is you need of the fruits of the Spirit, whatever you're dealing with, family situations, deaths in the family, you know, COVID-related layoffs, jobs, whatever you need, there's a promise in the Word of God that is set before you. And because it's set before you, allow the Heavenly Father to navigate you to the provision that He's already put in place through His promise. My endurance is complete once I have the Word. If I don't have the Word, then I'm searching, wandering, and I'm subject to every wind and wave that tosses me to and fro. But the minute I see the Word, I got the title deed, I got the promise. And now, since I can see it, and because I know that you said it, now my endurance is intact. I'm not saying it may happen today or tomorrow, but you will see me on the end of this trial or tribulation. Why? Because I've chose to participate in that which is set. Right in the midst of your enemies. I'm telling you what. I don't know if Pastor said it maybe a week ago or whatever. Or maybe I thought he said it. But anyway, there has to be some, I think he did. He said there's got to be some grit in the body of Christ. Why? Because the adversary is getting greater and greater with his voice. You need to position yourself at the table that he's prepared right in the midst of it. They're surrounded all around you. You might be going through the darkest time, but yes, the word of God says this, and devil, you're gonna watch me eat this thing. You could sit right across from me and watch me partake of this, or you can get out of here. I prefer you get out of here. In fact, do so in the name of Jesus. But if you want to come back, you're going to watch me partake of this because you were stripped of your power and authority. This world might be in a fallen state, but that's not on me. I'm not of your family. And this is how my family does, and I'm going to eat right in your face. There's got to be a fight sometime in every believer. Why? Because you'll get walked over. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a trespasser. You have land, someone will walk all over your land until you tell them to get out. Posted signs or not, you got to force them to get out. If you don't force them to get out and enforce what jurisdiction and authority you have, they'll just camp out there as long as they can, raise havoc and strife and everything else. Same thing with the devil. He's persistent enough to the point where he'll just keep on you until you decide to make a stand. There's got to be a fight in somebody to make a stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. With the promises of God. No, 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 Mr. Devil. My God shall meet and supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Devil, you take your hands off my finances in Jesus' name. Because I'm a tither, opportunity, benediction comes to me in Jesus' name. You need health in your body, by his stripes I'm healed. Above all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. By his stripes we were healed. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24. You need to stand your ground and eat that thing right in the midst of them. You need to decide that your fellowship and the promises that made available is far greater and exceeds and trumps any circumstance and situation that you're going through. It has to become greater on the inside of you. Why? Because that's who you are. That's where you were born into. If you don't know it, that's one thing. Know it. Know the rights and privileges through the word of God that were given to you. And you take your stand to make sure that you get those things. Why? Because he paid the ultimate price through Jesus Christ. If there was something greater he could have given to you, he would have. But he gave the best that he had through Jesus that you can move into the full inheritance and that plan of redemption would be made back intact from the provision in the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, he created the world, recreated the land, the sky, the seas, every provision that they need. It wasn't a surprise to him once he created Adam and Eve, knowing that they were going to have dominion, replenish, multiply. It wasn't a mystery to him. It's like, oh, God's like, oh, man, I hope I can feed all these people. Never was a concern or an issue. Why? Because he always, from the beginning or before the foundations of the earth, he always has something that is set for his family and for his people. And in like manner, it's the same thing. What you need has already been written. He's already got a good life for you to walk into and move into. And it's your responsibility to take your rightful seat and that position of authority and start eating. Right in the midst of it. Because the enemy, I'll tell you what, you start growing in God, enemy will be right here all the time, sitting on your face, telling you this, that, you're not this, you're not that, you're never going to be anything. Buddy, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be successful. You're going to live the same old rotten life that you've always been living. Until you say, no, Mr. Devil, let me tell you what my father says. And because my father knows that I'm in this position, I'm going to eat the promise that he has for me. And you, Mr. Devil, are going to have to hit the road. You got to take your rightful position at that table because he gave everything to bring mankind back into fellowship with him. Adam and Eve, they broke that fellowship through sin. They broke that fellowship when they gave into sin with the devil. Jesus came to restore that fellowship back. And now that you have come back into fellowship with the Heavenly Father, all the rights and privileges that he has have now become yours. And right in the midst of everything that you are dealing with, there's provision. I thought there wasn't, but there it is. He prepared a table right before. I was starving. I was looking for victory. I was looking for breakthrough. I was looking for, whether it's financial, whether it's for peace, whether it's for my children being born again, whether it's my family being restored. I was looking for breakthrough in the workplace to get colleagues saved. And right in the midst of this greatest battle, there's a table with provision on it. And I'm going to be a partaker of the provision that God has already made through his son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. This is not, Pastor told me this morning, he said, yeah, just minister the sermon you ministered last night. This is not at all what I ministered last night. But I trust that you were helped here today. I just feel like that's what needed to be said here today. There's other things, but it just seems like that's good. Whatever you're dealing with in life, if you need to repent, repent. Because the Father has positioned himself to see you afar off. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's waiting you, pride aside, to acknowledge the fact that I can't do this without you. I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't make another step. I can't even rationally think without you. Because the prodigal came to himself and realized, wait a second, I made a choice to break fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I need to get back there. Because I have an understanding now that that is my greatest reward. I did the riotous living. I did the harlots. I did the partying. I did the extravagant living. And I've come to myself to realize that the greatest thing is the Father saying, you are forever with me. You are forever in fellowship with me. That's my greatest reward. I'm not going to allow the circumstance and the press of things to make me pray like one that doesn't have a Heavenly Father. I'm not going to insult the character of my Heavenly Father by complaining, arguing, pleading my case in worry and fear about the conditions or my state of living at this time or what this world would have to say. I'm bringing myself back into fellowship and I'm going to pray as one who is born again and who knows their rights and privileges from their Heavenly Father. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we know that, Father, if we live in this life, we know that we have needs. But, Father, every need that we have fails in comparison to your supply that you've already given. And so, Father, we're not want and need focused, but we're supply minded. And Father, we bring ourselves into a place of fellowship with you. That, Father, the greatest thing that we have here on earth is our fellowship with you. That we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. And so, Father, our reward is you. Our prize is you. Our effort applied in our daily living is to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Everything else will be added unto that. And so, Father, we give you the praise and the glory for everything said. If you're here today with all heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're in a position where you've never been brought into fellowship by the Heavenly Father. Maybe you're in a position where you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To be what the Bible calls to be born again and brought into the family of God. I never want to minister without giving an opportunity that if there's people here that have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, today's whole message was the promises that are established through Jesus Christ on your behalf. Why? Because your Father, God, loves you so much that he paid the ultimate price. To pay the price for your sin, that you could be brought back into fellowship with him. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that. I promise you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to make you go visit with anybody. It's not an invitation to join this church or anything like that. It's sincerely going before the Lord and realize, hey, I'm of the wrong kingdom. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior so that I could be brought into the kingdom of God and that I could be back in fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision and you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand so I can see who needs to pray and who I want to pray with. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right down, and then we'll all pray together as a congregation, and right there in your seat, you can pray and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone here that's never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to be brought back into fellowship with God the Father? Can you raise your hand? Are there any hands right now of anyone that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life? I don't see any hands. If you're here and you need to get your life right with God, I'm not saying you miss it in a couple areas if you made some mistakes. I'm saying that you've walked away from God and you want to be brought back into fellowship with Him because you broke fellowship with the Heavenly Father. If you're here today and you need to be brought back into fellowship, can you lift your hand so I can see it? Is there anyone here that needs to be brought back? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. Anybody else wants to be brought back in fellowship? You need to pray to be brought back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. I see that hand. You can put it down. There were some hands, so we're going to go ahead and pray. Everyone, just go ahead and repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I thank you that He died and rose again so that I could be saved. And now that I'm saved, I'm a part of the kingdom of God. And I'm a part of the fellowship of the Father. I will live for you. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I trust you were helped here today. I appreciate it. Pastor, I know, like, if you were here and visiting again, I just extend that invitation. Come on back and hear Pastor. And I know he would want to personally meet you. You guys are a blessing, I'll tell you. I love this family congregation. It's an honor, and it's humbling. It's humbling for me to be up here, and an honor to be up here. So I appreciate you guys being hungry for the Word of God that allows God to share to you. And I'm just honored to be able to be used. It's humbling and a privilege for me. So praise the Lord. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's worship Him a minute before we dismiss. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, you're worthy of all praise and glory. We thank you. We got your word. We leave changed here today. And we thank you, Father, for your promises. We thank you for the fellowship we have for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.